Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Built Like This podcast. I'm your host, Maxine. We're on episode 316. Hello. Welcome. Here we are. Shawnee O'Neal Henderson. She is promoting her book. She has recently published or released, whatever the correct verbiage here. She wrote a book, a memoir, and she is promoting this book like crazy. The book is called Undefeated, and I guess I'm promoting it too. And it's called Undefeated, Changing the Rules and Winning on My Own Terms. Shawnee Henderson is the actual author list, is the name that's listed on the book instead of Shawnee O'Neal. So one could assume that she completely took off the O'Neal part and it's just now her new last name to the man, from the man that she is currently married to. It could be that, or is she just making a point on this book that she is no longer of Shaq? Now, I have a couple of issues with this. So in this book, she reveals that she, I guess there's a line in it where she talks about how she never was in love with Shaq. She says she never was in love with him. I'm gonna see if I could find that quote. There we go. Okay, so while she's promoting her book, she admits that she may have never truly been in love with her ex, Shaquille O'Neal. She says, quote, "Looking back, I don't know that I was ever really in love with the man who has been funding your whole life for 20 plus years, but okay. But I was in love with the idea of being married to the man I had a family with." Cut the shit. I don't know if Keon Henderson is that great that she is like double thinking everything that she did in her past life before this man. But I feel like this is such in poor taste. I feel like this is so déclassé because how dare you? How dare you? You're, of course, you're entitled to move on with your life and move on to new relationships and new marriages. That's fine. But to completely disregard the long marriage you had with this man, let's go back to that real quick, because apparently their romance began in the late 90s and ended in 2009. So they had a very long-winded marriage. She has been very vocal, and so has Shaq, as far as the issues that they had in their marriage. He was a perpetual cheater, and she just couldn't handle it anymore. And he was away often because of his career and other affairs. So I understand how that could take a toll on a marriage and can make her feel like, was this love after all? I have a hard time with that because I think it's so convenient to disregard the feelings that you did have for this person who, sure, he may not have treated you with the respect and love that you wanted, but does that mean that your love for him didn't exist? Does that mean all the children that you bared for this man, the love wasn't there at all? It's just you was in love with the idea of him? What are you talking about? Now, I was under the impression initially that Shawnee and Shaq met before he became big time, before he became this notable NBA player. But apparently, hold on, let me make sure. When did Shaq and Shawnee meet. So they met in 1996. At that time, so Shaq left the Orlando Magic for the Los Angeles Lakers for a reported $120 million 7-year contract. My point is, they were together from the beginning. So before he secured this contract, they were in this thing called a relationship, which led into them being married for X amount of years. So let's make that very clear. It's not like she got with him after he's already been drafted, and after he's already had this, you know, this strong success. No, they've had a relationship prior to him being drafted. Now, I don't know how long that relationship was prior to, but nonetheless, it was in 96. He shortly thereafter got drafted, and boom, he's this mega athlete. I understand you could be in love with the idea of, not even idea, you lived it. Like, you were in love with the limelight, with the access, with the perks of being a athlete's wife, a baller's wife, a basketball wife. Like, that is intoxicating. You have so much money. You have so many resources available to you. So, of course, you're in love with that. But to act like you never loved this man and that you were never in love with him, that doesn't compute. Nope, did it compute? What? Like, it doesn't compute to me. And I feel like it's so distasteful. I think it's actually a testament to her character. I don't like it. And I get it. Oh, he cheated on me, so blah, 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 he deserves all. Shut the fuck up. Can we cut it out? I get it. It's not the ideal experience for any person in a relationship that you are one of many, right? But ma'am, I'm sure you were also in love with the lifestyle too. Hello? That's a part of the lifestyle. To be so taken aback that this man can't keep it together, this pussy coming at him left and right. I feel like it's in poor taste. She says here that, yeah, she never was in love with him, despite the 6 children they had together. I think she had one prior to them meeting, and he had one prior to them meeting. So they have 4 children together, same parents, right? Children together, and each person brought in a particular, like, a child into the marriage. So the point is, this person who you never was in love with, you built a whole family with. You bored 5, 6, 7, like, these big head babies that look exactly like Shaq, that's built like Shaq. You mean to tell me you was in love with him at all? At all. It's one thing to say, towards the end of our marriage, the love I had for him dwindled because of the X amount of affairs and the lying and all. Oh yeah, the rigmarole. We get that. But to say not at one point in your marriage, and even prior to that, not at one point you was in love with this man? I call bullshit. And I think I'm wondering if this has anything to do with Keon, with her current husband, who's a pastor, Pastor Keon Henderson. I'm wondering if there's any bearing to that, because maybe Keon is the man that she's always wanted to be with, right? The caliber of a man she's always wanted to be with. And she finally meets this man, and they've they've had a strong friendship prior, because I remember the beginning of their relationship. He was still married to his ex-wife at the time. And look, I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to judge. I was trying to impersonate Trump right there, but didn't really work. But you know what I mean? I'm not here to judge. Things sometimes don't work out and the timing gets blurry. That's life. Nothing's ever really clean or ideal as we want it to be for others to swallow. Like, people get so mad, like, so y'all was still dating while he was married? Yes. 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 Because can we just have a second here? No one's really single. Like, whenever you're meeting someone for the first time and, hi, yeah, so how long you been single or what are you looking for? Sure, the person may not have an active relationship in their life, or they may. But the point is, they've reached a dull point in their relationship, so much so that they're not all the way out yet because they want the comfort and the convenience of a relationship. So I'm going to wait until I have something secure first. Like, that's how people, I've noticed that. Like, you meet people, there's always someone in the back burner. And I think, I'm just making this point because I think we get so caught up in the, oh, but he was still married. Oh, but she was still in a relationship. Like, in whatever capacity, and whatever, whether the person was still married, whether the person was still living with their partner, or just in a romantic relationship that was initially monogamous or seemingly monogamous, whatever it was. The point is, when you are on a first date with someone and either party says, yeah, I'm single. No, they're not. They're not. No one's all the way detached. Like, I don't think in that circumstance, no one's all the way, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's no clean slate. People will be lying, like, oh, no. Meaning, like, there's always someone in the back burner. Like, I feel like that's always the case. So in this case, like, when we think about, oh, well, you know, you're wrecking a happy home, huh? But what if there wasn't a home? It's just a technicality. People like to hear certain things to make themselves feel better. And anyway, the point is, Shawnee and Keon started prior to his divorce being finalized. And even the whole divorce process, that shit takes a while, right? So the idea of being a legally married person and you're going through the proceedings of a divorce, or, you know, you got to start off with the separation and then the divorce. And depending on wherever you live, if they see that you're still in the, if you guys had a moment of lust together, then, ooh, that backtracks your divorce proceed. This is whole ridiculous technicality. The point is, there's no clean slate. So, like, you can't, oh, I'll wait until the ink dries before I could even go back on Hinge. That doesn't make sense. You know how long that's gonna go? Date. Go anyway. So Shawnee and Keon was seeing each other prior. The point is, she's now married to this man, and he may be a great partner to her. He may be better than she's ever experienced. He may be the best of her experiences. And I think when you're so caught up in the moment of being in love, of being happy, and this is all amazing. I'm happy that she's happy. That's fine. Don't get me wrong. But I think it's just in poor taste. I feel like you don't have to trash your ex to make your current feel confident or pleased by you. Like, What is that about? Like, what you had going on with your ex has nothing to do with me. You still loving your ex? Like, yeah, I love him. He's the father of my children. He's been there for me. Like, we've known each other for 30 years. Of course you love him. Like, what are we talking about? Like, I don't think, and it's one thing to be loved, or it's one thing to love someone. It's another thing to be in love, right? So, of course, I'll have a problem if you were still in love with your ex. But if you still love that person, just like, I still love you, you know, I still care for you. What's the issue? What's the issue? Anyway, I just feel like, and it just kind of like, it throws away all of the special moments that you shared with that person, regardless of all the times that he probably did you dirty, like you say, Shawnee. I still feel like it's just in poor taste. Like, it just makes everything that was in the past not real. Like, was there ever a marriage? Was there? Oh, do the whole Little Kim dance. Was there? Was it ever real? It was. It was real. It's like you're questioning reality. I don't like that. I don't like that. So, yeah, again, I'm wondering, did Keon have a play in this? Like, hey, say you never loved him. Say you never was in love with him. Like, girl, what? I'm saying poor taste. You know, there's a way to go about it. You could move on to a new relationship and still have respect and care and a level of reverence, I would say, even for your ex. For your ex. Now, if he was abusive physically, then that's different. But, child, y'all spent 30 years together. You wasn't in love with him at all? At all? Okay. Girl, bye. And don't say, oh, the kids. No, fuck the kids. It ain't got shit to do with the kids. You stayed. So there was a measure of love and being in love then. Anyway, what? Speaking of what, I meant to play this last episode as we discuss the big old deal between Kendrick and Lamar. Remember I said that? Oh, I was being funny. I know it's Kendrick and Drake. But I want to make a point here that, okay, so this Twitter user or X user, she made an interesting point that I realized too, but she captured it so well. So I'm going to play her video to give her some credits. Shout out to her. And basically, Kendrick presents himself as this pro-black Malcolm X, you know, let's talk about the slaves and when we were enslaved and yada yada yada, historian, black man. And the irony here is that he is with an ambiguous woman who doesn't give black woman. She gives Persian. She gives Latina. She gives everything but black, I would say. Like her skin complexion, her skin tone, all of that doesn't equate to a black woman. And yes, I get it. We all come in different. You know what the fuck I mean. You know what I mean. She's not black. Okay. And we see that to be a trend amongst a lot of these pro-black people that we see online or even like in real life. Like I know someone in my real life who pro-black, all that. His wife isn't black. His wife isn't black. Anyway, you know, I've shared with you guys, I've since evolved from that mindset of feeling like, well, how can you be pro-black and you have a white wife or you have a Latina wife or, you know, a non-black wife? And I finally just moved on from that mindset because it gets tiring. Like, it gets exhausting to be so mad at someone's choice to love this person or that person. Like, I just feel like it's silly. the heart wants what it wants. And you have to be mindful of the fact that people fall in love with proximity oftentimes. And if someone grew up in an environment that was very low on the minority scale, and there were more white people, white girls, you know, than there were black girls, you just kind of grew a strong connection with them, or just there's this familial spirit that you experience because you grew up with said demographic. I can't be mad. Or maybe you just had a very diverse high school and you was exposed to different cultures and you just find yourself naturally vibing with this person who just happens to be white, who just happens to be Persian, who just, you know, a lot of these things are just organic. And that's what I have realized. And I feel like, you know, it's not fruitful to have a problem with that. I just feel like it's so silly and immature to have a problem with that. So I've since evolved from that. What I do want to point out is just the irony. Yes, we could still call out the irony and like, oh, you talk on this pro-black, but your wife's not black. It just, sure, it's in your face. How can we not call it out? And I want to also call out the intentionality sometimes, but within interracial relationships, when you see black men with particularly white, blonde, blue hair eyed white women, and they would say, oh, that's because of black girls, you know, they have attitudes, or the black girls this and that, like what? That's what I don't like. Nonetheless, Kendrick Lamar, he called out Drake for hypersexualizing black women and never crediting them, or like never really respecting them, yada, yada, yada. So let me go ahead and play this clip that I came across on my timeline on X. And it's this woman, her tag name is Medusa Showoff. Interesting. But you know, you gotta have these catchy tag names. So yeah, she's basically checking Kendrick Lamar here, saying like, look, I'm not in favor of this idea of questioning Drake's blackness, especially being that Kendrick Lamar has a non-black wife. So here we go.
Kendrick Lamar has no right to question Drake's blackness. I really hate that I'm defending Drake right now, but I gotta call a thing a thing. K-Dot, baby, your wife is just as whitewashed as Drake is. Be fucking for real. Your wife has a white mother and is just as far removed from the black community as Drake is. If we're being honest, in terms of phenotype, Drake actually looks more black than your wife does.
And that's a very good point there. The phenotype of Drake does resemble a black man. He definitely looks like his father. He just has his mother's skin tone. But his father, Drake's dad, and Drake, twins. Same wide nose, same plump lips, just same build. Like, he's his father's son.
Your wife does not look black at all. She just looks like a woman of color. I noticed that with biracial women, y'all always want to call them black, but then want to switch it up when it comes to biracial men. I don't like that shit. Your wife actually has more in common with Drake than she does with you. She has a white mother just like Drake. She did not grow up with her father. She has no ties to the black community, and she struggled with her identity just like Drake did. Not only that, Kendrick Lamar lied and said that he loves dark-skinned women. Meanwhile, he's been married to a biracial light-skinned woman the whole time. Like,
yeah, and you know what's so funny? I forgot. That reminded me. There was, I think I talked about it when it came out, that song Kendrick Lamar had about his love for dark-skinned women, and I thought it was just a strong-ass display of pandering. Panda, panda, panda. Because his wife is obviously not a dark-skinned black woman. But here's the thing with that. Like, look, I'm trying to see both sides. I'm trying to mature in my mindset when it comes to this, and I've matured already. So shout out to me for the work. I think you could still love dark-skinned Black women and your wife just happens to not be dark-skinned. I think two things could happen here because, just because he loves dark-skinned women, he wants to now divorce his wife to demonstrate to us that he loves dark-skinned women so much that he wants to find a new wife who is now dark-skinned. It doesn't work like that. Like, he just so happens to have a non-Black wife or a lighter skin, a non-dark skin Black wife. So yeah, according to this, his wife is biracial, and I'm using the term wife loosely here because apparently, allegedly, they're living apart and they're going through a separation. So legally, sure, they may still be married, but as far as an actual union, probably not the same romantically as it once was. Nonetheless, I think between them, you know, again, like, you could love dark-skinned Black women and your wife happens to not be dark-skinned. I think two things could be true here. It's just, it's unfair to denounce what he said or his love for. Let me see if I can find it though. There must be a clip. Let me see. Kendrick Lamar dark skin girl song. Was it Poetic Justice? Poetic Justice. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Child, there's a Reddit post that came up on my search. It said Kendrick Lamar and the erasure of Black women. God damn. I'm trying to defend this man, but just this was from 9 years ago, so I don't know what took place 9 years ago for this post to have been created, but let's see. It's from Black Millennials. Looks like it's a chat forum. Okay, I'm not going through this right now. The point is, I think two things could be true here. I feel like he is, you know, you have to expand your mind. You have to stop thinking so simplistic. And that's really what I had to learn a while ago. Like, look, two things could be true here. Yes, my wife may be white. My wife may be white, Kendrick, right? Right. She may be all these other things, but he could still have a love and respect and admiration towards dark-skinned Black women and just Black women as a whole. You know, so, you know, God bless. Let me go ahead and just finish this clip out, because I think what she's saying is still very profound.
Girl, your wife is the female equivalent of the person that you're dissing. So stop trying to act like you so down for the community. It's the hypocrisy for me. I just don't like that shit. Stop playing both sides of the fence. No, we don't like Drake, but Kendrick Lamar be pandering to the Black community too, if we're being honest.
And there we have it. You know, that's her take and that's her prerogative, her perspective, her POV. Totally fine. I respect it. It is what it is. But I think moving forward, we have to learn how to not think so simplistically. We have to just evolve in our thinking, you know, sorry, Dr. Umar. I know he preaches so much about Black love and the Black family and all that is still true. You know, building your own. I feel like he says a lot of great rhetoric, but unfortunately, I don't see that as a demonstration in his life. I don't. I think he may be someone who, look, I don't know him personally. I don't, obviously. But I feel like he's someone who may be difficult to be with romantically. I know a few, now I don't know them personally, but there are a few people who I have talked about on this podcast who I feel like, oh, they may be tiring to be with. That is Dr. Umar, Amanda Seales, Tyrese. Those are the three people I could think of right now. Godfrey, too. Godfrey the comedian. I think all four of them. What did I say, Godfrey? Y'all, I listen to him on his podcast. Like, I watch his podcast. You know, I have a roster of different podcasts that I listen to that I find entertaining, and it's something to fill up my time as I go through my day. He's one of those podcasts. He is annoying as hell. He's annoying as hell. And I feel like every other sentence he says is an impersonation. Like, that's his shtick. That's his thing. And I feel like he's the type to do that with his girl. Like, he'll be in the bed and be like, hey, what are you doing? Like, he'll just start doing some other impersonation. Like, who am I sleeping with? Who is this right now? Are you Donald Trump or are you Godfrey? Now, great. His impersonations are spot on. You cannot take that away from him. But my God, today, cut it out. That he doesn't know when to, like, just stop. He goes in too hard. He's very defensive. I've noticed a lot of, like, you know how people, a podcast is very intimate. A podcast is very intimate. You are allowing people to be in your ear. And they're telling you about themselves in subtle or direct ways. And if you're someone who's a good listener, who's very observant, you could catch different personality traits in this person. And I'm sure you could catch a lot of things from me. Leave it in the comments below, respectfully. Respectfully, keyword. But yeah, I think he may be annoying as fuck to be with romantically. Amanda Seales, I don't need to say anything more about that. You already know. You already know. Tyrese, why did I say Tyrese? I talked about it before. Y'all know I was very team Tyrese when it came to his divorce and how he was blindsided from his wife. Now, look, I agree that he still was blindsided because even she admitted that she let her friends, her single friends, convinced her that she needs to just leave him and yada yada yada, and now they're going through this horrid custody battle and child support battle. It's a mess. But as he was going on this tour explaining what took place and how much he's been hurt and he's been exposing X, Y, and Z, and yes, he's also shared the side effects that he's experienced from the medication that he got prescribed. All in all, even after ridding that from his system, he's still been off his rocker in a sense of he just feels insufferable. Like, he's always in someone else's business. It's like he lacks the self-reflection. And I feel like he's so intense. Like, he's just, I don't know if he knows how to loosen up or, like, you know, just like crack your neck a little bit. He makes a great singer. I think that those traits are necessary to be a great singer. I mean, I don't think Tank comes off that way because Tank, oh, he's like perfect in my eyes. I think he has a great personality. He's a great actor. You could see that in his acting, and different projects he's been in. His personality shines and he's likable when I see him on interviews. Great singer, humble too. I feel like he's all of that. But with Tyrese, I don't get that from him. I feel like he comes off very just, oh, well, I haven't cheated. I haven't, like, as if not cheating is the only reason why your wife may want to divorce you. Plot twist, she could just not want to be with you, right? Like, it is, you know what I mean? Like, it has nothing to do with any of that. Like, the typical reasons people want to say. And I think it could have just very well have been on top of being influenced by her single friends. I think she probably was just so tired of being with him. I think he's exhausting. Always like crooning in your face, but like crying too. And, you know, God said, like, miss me with that. It's just too much. And look, I remember growing up, y'all know I grew up in the church. And one of the common things I would hear from the women around me, the girls, the young girls around me, as I was a young girl as well, they would say, oh, I want to be a pastor's wife. I want to be a pastor's wife. And I never said that. Like, I never replied to that with the same sentiment. I never had those same feelings or thoughts or desires at all. Like, pastors, what do you mean? Like, particularly a pastor's wife. That's what was said often growing up in the church from my female peers. Like people in my cousin, like anyway, people in my family, yada yada yada. And the reason for that is you have this illusion, this fantastical appearance of being next to a man who is in love with God and who bleeds the word of God and who preaches the word of God and who helps heal others because they speak the word of God so delicately and so precisely. And there's this like illusion that they're in love with, this purity illusion. And I say illusion because we know of so many stories of pastors sleeping with many congregants. Pastors not being as moral and righteous as they preach. Yet, I want to be a pastor. So, hi. I want to be a pastor. But it's like, girl, for what? Do you want to be Giselle? Shout out to Potomac. Do you want to be Giselle Bryant, who still has the last name of her ex-husband? Like, girl, what? I don't know. Anyway, the point is, and then, yeah, and another reason why I didn't want that is I thought about just the intensity that pastors have, because they have to be intense to be on the pulpit, to speak the word of God and to call out the devil and plead the blood of Jesus. They have to be intense. They have to be. So imagine that in the house, in the bedroom, and then he's trying to coerce you to do something by saying what God said, and as a servant of the Lord, as the pastor, you better listen to me. You know, I feel like sometimes it trickles down into this downward spiral of potentially being abusive, being religiously abusive, spiritually abusive, all these things, child, no. So yeah, I want to be a pastor's wife. For what? For what? Okay, let's talk about politics. Let's talk about politics real quick, because Drew Barrymore has showed her ass again. Again. She had Kamala Harris on her talk show, and this was a recent episode. But I've been meaning to talk about it for the past like couple of days now. Anyway, the point is she had Kamala Harris on her show. And we know Kamala Harris, the VP of the USA. Yada, yada, yada. Where is she though? And what is she saying? Yep. There's a compilation online that anyone, if you just search up Kamala Harris compilation speech, or write gibberish to be more direct, of her just sounding so silly in several speeches that she's delivered, saying a bunch of nothing while looking very, you know that emoji? Let me look at myself real quick. That emoji? That is what she thinks she looks like, or, you know, tries to appear as such. Anyway, so she made an appearance on Drew Barrymore's talk show. Why does Drew Barrymore have a talk show? Why does Jennifer Hudson have a... What? I don't... Child, okay. Anyway, the point is, let me go ahead and share my screen. Make sure you are subscribed to the YouTube channel. Thank you so much for your support. I've had such a great streak of support, and let's just keep that going. So make sure you are subscribed to the YouTube channel of Built Like This Podcast, and you are following us on Instagram, and you are subscribed on Apple Podcasts as well as Spotify. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So let me go ahead and click this link. Oh, sorry, I thought I opened it, my bad. Of this moment in which Drew Barrymore, basically, you know, that whole, that trope or the stereotype of Black women needing to be the mammy, needing to be the one who gets people together and discipline. And I remember at my first teaching job at that school that I was working at, back in Boston, Beantown, and being one of the few Black female teachers present, the expectation was for me and the other Black female teacher to be the disciplinarian, to be the one who's gonna put the foot down and really have the classroom management so down pat. And it just was very racist to assume that Black women will take on that role so seamlessly and so within their will. You know, like this coercion of Black women to be this mammy or to be this angry Black woman. It's like, no, I'm actually very lighthearted and carefree. I actually hate rules. I actually don't like to raise my voice much. I'm actually like not even present right now. I'm in another universe. Like that's me. That's my personality. So whenever I see like these types of expectations placed on Black women, I find it so cringe. I find it so cringe. So anyway, let's go ahead and play this clip. And
a tremendous hug in the world right now.
Yeah.
But in our country, we need you to be Mamala of the country.
You see what she just said? She needs Kamala Harris, this established, well, she's an attorney as well, right? Prior to her being the VP of the world, of the US. She wants her to be Mamala. What? The mom of who? Who's my mom? Who? I never was into stuff like that. Like, I remember growing up in the church. Hello. Stop saying, I've been saying a little bit too much. It's not okay. Sorry. I was just about to say it. Okay, so growing up in the church, we would have like different age groups all together as part of the youth group. So there'll be the youth, the younger ones, and then the young adults, and we will just all kind of be together. There'll be big sister, little sister, just mentors in that sense. And there was this woman in the church who fell under the young adult group. And many of my peers, who we were all preteens at the time, they would call her mommy, because apparently she played the role as such in their lives. And I always cringed at that. I was like, why are they calling this woman who's not their mother, mom? I don't like giving other people titles that's not your title. Like I'm very matter of fact in some situations. And I feel like with that, why am I calling you mom and you're not my mom? What? That's just so weird to me. Even the whole sis thing. Hey, sis. Hey, girl. Well, I say hey, girl, because I feel like that's fine. But the whole sis, but you're not my sister. Like, I don't know. I'm very matter of fact. Very literal. Am I? Is this giving Amanda Seals? Okay, let's get back to this. Mama.
I've been thinking that we really all need a tremendous hug in the world right now.
Yeah.
But in our country, we need you to be Mamala of the country.
Yeah, that was it. So yeah, it says Drew Barrymore interviews everybody like they have coke and she doesn't have any money. What? I don't know what that means, but I get the context, like, enough at least. But yeah, so Kamala Harris is now taking on the role of Mamala. Girl, what are you saying? Like, what does that mean? Even she's looking kind of weird and, sorry, y'all. But even she's looking all uncomfortable because that's so weird to say. First of all, Kamala Harris doesn't even have any kids, which is fine. Don't get me wrong. But the point is, how am I going to be Mamala to y'all? But I'm not a mama. I think she's a stepmom, but she's never given birth to kids of her own. And I'm making this point because you don't request that from someone who doesn't have direct experience, in my opinion. Like, how am I calling you grandma or mom when you're not in any sense? Unless you were talking about stepmom. I know it sounds so insensitive. I'm trying not to be in that case, but the point still stands. What are we talking about? But yeah, Drew Barrymore just being weird as usual, a little intense for my liking. She talks very, another one, very intense. She may be exhausting to be with romantically. Some people like her is just like, again, Amanda Seals, Tyrese, Godfrey. Who's the other person? Damn, who's, did I say four or five? Well, y'all could just circle back. But nonetheless, for sure. Okay, so I had the WAGs on here on my list of topics because there was a trend or just a common story being pushed into the zeitgeist of the newly drafted NFL players coming into their own, you know, coming into their newly drafted life with their non-Black woman while they are Black men. But here's the thing here. I feel like we could always find what we're looking for. Because in this article, I see examples of white men with white women. Like, I think the motive was for there to be this outcry of hate and sadness, frustration, and why Black men ain't shit, and all of that, because we were seeing pictures and footage of Black men with white women as they have been newly drafted into the NFL. And I think, again, we could find whatever we're looking for. Whatever you want to see, you could find it. So don't check his phone. Ignorance is bliss. And I'll be a blissful bitch, okay? But anyway, so she is this woman here. Let me share my screen again. She is a white woman who is with this Black NFL player. Oh, now my screen wanted to freeze. That's fun. There we go. We good now. So, okay, not her, because I thought she was kind of, you know, this light-skinned black, but nope. But again, you see here, two white people together in a relationship. Boom. No big deal. No big deal. Until a black man with a white woman, and not just a white woman, but one, excuse me, one who he is about to marry. Oh, what? And then boom, another. Oh no, nope. We see a regular, but we see a couple here that's both white. Okay, no big deal. Oh no, a black man with a white woman. You know what I mean? So there's another image I saw. There we go. This one, two, another. And look, that's three. Now, does that mean, okay, there's four, and they have a baby together, so they're locked in. Okay, that's it right now? Okay, the point is, you see what you want to see. And I found something else that kind of counteracted. Is that the right way to say counteract? Cheryl, I'll be talking so fast. This. And this is from Lipstick Alley. had to go down Lipstick Alley to find proof that there are newly drafted black NFL players with black women. I had to go down Lipstick Alley to find proof. But hey, I found it, and let's talk about it. So here we see an example of an athlete who is with his black woman. Now, I don't know exactly, is it NFL draft? Or I think he's NBA, because his body is built, I don't know. Anyway, there's another one here, Blake Corum. He's definitely NFL. He's a little light bright though, It's like, no worries, he's giving Drake. And yeah, he's with a black woman. This other woman here is with this black man. So look, there are examples of black NFL players with black women. So again, you find whatever you want to focus on. And it's just so common to focus on the fact that there are black newly drafted NFL players who happen to be with white women. That is what the media wants us to get mad at and wants us to see. And I want us to move forward from that simplistic thinking. I think it's just so toxic for us to stay in that frustration and that furor. That is just so unnecessary, because it is what it is. I'm going to get mad at whoever you decide to love. How does that serve me? You can find whatever you want to see. And if you want to get mad, you can find images that will focus on that. If you want to be happy, you can find images that focus on that. Where do you want to place your focus on? Okay, so that's really my two cents on the matter. And that's it. That is it. Alrighty. I am going to end it here. It is time for me to wrap up. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Make sure you are liking the video on YouTube. All of that is in support of this channel and will push it out to the algorithm even more. So thank you in advance. Make sure you are subscribed to YouTube and you are subscribed and you leave a positive comment, a positive review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. All of that is greatly appreciated. If you haven't done that yet, then what are we doing? And why are you a hater? I'm just trying to make it. All right, let's end it here. Thank you so much for your support, and I'll check in with you all next time. Peace.